Will members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
31 present, 9 absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representative Cooper is excused from the call of the House today. I'll ask that any absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is the Reverend Al Wakefield, the Presbyterian Church. The House please rise for prayer.
May we bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, during these few quiet moments of the beginning of this new day, we gather together before Thee, seeking peace for heavenly kingdom, for heavenly wisdom, and for spiritual power. May we be helped so we can view the world through an attitude of love that will be filled with eyes sympathetic to others, ears that can hear the truth, and hearts that will be overflowing with warmth and understanding. Guide us so we will be patient and kind as we see beyond ourselves and know others as You knowest them. Seal our ears with deafness to all forms of slander that may be told. Cleanse our thoughts and desires so they will be righteous in Your sight, and silence our tongues to words that are unkind. Let only thoughts that will be a blessing dwell in our minds this morning, as they are used to uplift others rather than tear them down. Let us so kindly be, so full of Your cheer and happiness, that those who we meet today may feel Your presence near. Thank You for these moments together and for this new day that You are giving. Amen.
Representative Bennett.
Move and ask unanimous consent for every spread upon the journal.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please certify us to the correctness of the Daily Journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify us to the correctness of the Journal for the 65th day.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that this body approve the Journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 65th day.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? There are no guests at this time. Are there any messages from the governor?
Dear Mr. Speaker, I've signed the following resolution and I'm transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Joint Resolution Number 53, relating to reimbursement of Alaska advisors to salmon fisheries negotiations. Legislative Resolve Number 12. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citations and they are returned. In memoriam, William Sonny Nelson. In memoriam, Robert E. Sharp, congratulating the Juno Douglas Crimson Bears. These citations have been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed the following and it is transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 81 by Coletta and Huber, relating to a youth in government program.
Refer to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There is a copy of a communication to President Rader from W.E. Brad Bradley, State Senator. As a result of my declaration of candidacy for Lieutenant Governor on March 13, 1978, and in accordance with Section 24587 and 242030 of the Alaska Statutes, I am notifying you of my termination of membership on the Alaska Legislative Council with the utmost reluctance. I appreciated my appointment to this permanent interim committee and have enjoyed serving with its members. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 589, establishing the Alaska National Guard Senior ROTC Scholarship Program, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, signing do pass, Cooper, Freeman, Rode, Guy, Schaefer, Swanson, and Greening. Buchholz says, forward march. House Bill 589 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 668 relating to the Small Loans Act under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 668 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, signing do pass, Parr, Carpenter, and Hayes. Having no recommendation, McKinnon and Chatterton. House Bill 668 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 752 relating to the granting of athletic leave under consideration, and two members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 752 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, signing do pass, Bradley and Lethine. Signing do not pass unless amended, Kelly. Signing do not pass, Dankworth. House Bill 752 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 795, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for the benefit of the Fairbanks Town and Village Association for Development Incorporated under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 795 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurring by Buchholz, Greening, Freeman, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, Meekins, Cooper, and Swanson. Mr. Rode has no recommendation. House Bill 795 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 98 relating to banks and other financial institutions under consideration a second time. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 98 Commerce and that it do pass and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman. Signing no recommendation, Bradley, Hayes, Chatterton, and McKinnon. Signing do pass, Parr and Carpenter. A committee substitute for Senate Bill 98 has no further referral. Have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees. Introduction of resolutions and citations.
There's a citation in memoriam, Dutch Durr, by Representatives Miller and Duncan. House Concurrent Resolution 114 by the State Affairs Committee by the State Affairs Committee. Approving staggered motor vehicle registration regulations.
Referred to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House Bills.
House Bill 886 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to state aid for municipal capital improvement and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee and Finance Committee.
House Bill 887 by the Resources Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources to acquire land for establishment of the Funny River State Wayside and providing for an effective date.
Referred to Resources and Finance.
House Bill 888 by the Rules Committee, an act designating the bullhead whale as a state marine mammal.
Referred to the Resources Committee.
House Bill 889 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act providing for the issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $5,605,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for public safety facilities and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 890 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $24,600,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for correctional facilities and providing for an effective date.
Referred to Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 891 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act providing for the reorganization of the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Referred to Health, Education, and Social Services, and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Miles, House Police Tentatives. Representative Freeman.
May we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Hearing no objection, we revert to introduction of guests. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of myself and numerous other legislators in the body, I would like to introduce a group of young people in the gallery behind me here. They're the winners of the Know Your State Government contest from Elks Lodge, and I will introduce them and ask them to stand. Dan Lockie of Cordova, Joanne Lutz-Sitka, John DeBane Kodiak, Penny Omer, Petersburg, Paul Busby, Ketchikan, Jim Sturdivant, Wrangell, Larry Barsdate, Fairbanks.
Are there further introductions at this time? If not, we'll continue with the regular order of business. We're down to consideration of the daily calendar. Clerk, please read first item on the calendar.
House Bill number 789 by Dankworth and Hayes, an act relating to medical leave. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 789 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Nackack, Kelly, Lathine, Dankworth, McKinnon, and Miles. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, in the absence of amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 789 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 789 in third reading.
House Bill number 789 by Dankworth and Hayes, an act relating to medical leave.
Representative Dankworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe just a brief explanation of the bill would help. The purpose of the bill is to alleviate a problem that was created when we allowed our public employees to take their sick leave if a member of their family was at home and needed them there, and there was no other alternative rather than for them to be at home. What that law did originally say, that if you did stay at home, that it would require a doctor's certificate, even if it was for one day, that maybe your child had an earache or a stomachache or something that required you to be there. Then the state employee would almost had to take annual leave to go sit in a doctor's office, considering a lot of the places that only have one pediatrician or something, and they'd have to wait a half a morning to see a doctor to get a certificate from a doctor who never even saw the patient in the first place to comply with this law. Now, all this does is says that this bill will give them 3 days. They can take 3 days with the permission of the head of the agency, without being required to go down and get a doctor's certificate that they were needed at home. That's the same thing that the state employees have right now. It's just extended over to the fact that they can also do it if it's a dependent. And they still have to get an okay from the department head. And the department head may, after 3 days, require that they do get a medical certificate.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 789 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
35 yeas, no nays, 5 excused.
So House Bill 789 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 849 by Carpenter, an act relating to group disability insurance and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 849 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, signing do pass, McKinnon, Bradley, Parr, Carpenter, and Hayes. Mr. Chatterton signed as amended. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number one by the Commerce Committee, page 2, lines 17 through 20. After director, delete remainder of line and through line 20.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Commerce Committee amendment.
There's objection. Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the purpose of the bill is to delete some of the restrictions placed on directors of corporations qualifying under group policies. In reviewing the bill, we found that those restrictions also apply to individual proprietors and members of a partnership. And so we decided that it would be appropriate to extend the removal of those restrictions to individual proprietors and partners.
So further discussion. Is the objection maintained to the adoption of Amendment Number 1? Hearing no further objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Clerk, further amendments to the bill?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the House Bill 849 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 849 in third reading.
House Bill number 849, amended by Carpenter, an act relating to group disability insurance and providing for an effective date.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The need for this bill was brought to my attention by an insurance consultant to a regional corporation. The corporation had attempted to extend its group health and group life programs to members of the board of directors and was told that it couldn't. And under this bill, Section 1, a company at its option would be able to extend group health to its board of directors whether or not they were salaried. And under Section 2 of this bill, the company at its option would be permitted to extend group life to its board of directors. The analogy that was given to me at the time the bill was suggested is that the state itself extends its group health to unsalaried appointees, and it was felt that a company should be permitted to do the same.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I don't find anything right offhand in this bill that I object to, and I suppose I shouldn't be suspicious, but looking at the sponsors of the bill preceding it and this one by Mr. Carpenter, I get the feeling that maybe this is Be Kind to Republicans Day, or there's something wrong with the bill, and I can't figure out which.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 849 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-six yeas, no nays, 4 excused.
And so House Bill 849 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 849 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Brings us to the end of today's calendar. No, I'm sorry, we have the bill in third reading. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 133, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to selection and transfer of state land to municipalities and providing for an effective date. Amendment number one by Mr. Cooper was adopted and can be it's in your packets. Amendment number two by Mr. Dankworth failed. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, it doesn't reflect 133 on the board.
The amendment number three, I think, has been duplicated and placed on the members' desks. Representative Meekins? House, please stand at ease. House, please come to order. During the at ease, the sponsor of the amendment, proposed amendment number three, which has not yet been moved, during the at ease, the sponsor made an addition to the amendment. Would the clerk please read the addition?
Add page 6, line 5, after AS 5300, insert, to which the state has received patent from the federal government.
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption that we return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
There's objection. Representative Meekins.
Speaker, I apologize to the body for making a relatively substantial amendment, or at least a complicated one, on the floor. I didn't notice it in committee. This bill is a rather lengthy one, and we spent such a great deal of time on the formula and some of the other amendments that at this point slipped by me. It was brought up by Representative Dankworth and Mr. Hayes, and I apologize to members of the majority for being associated with such bad company, but I think this was an unusual case. They did have a fairly good point, and so I try to put in this amendment to take care of this problem. The intent of the amendment in general is to limit the power of the director of the Division of Lands. As I think most of the members know, the director of lands is a peculiar entity in our state government. In fact, in the laws that we have, a lot of times we give the power directly to the director of lands and not to the commissioner, which we noticed in a bill that came up before us a couple of weeks ago. And he has a significant ability to classify land for many purposes, and of course, a legislature can also withdraw land for any purpose. And currently, this bill limits municipalities. They can only select land which is vacant, unreserved, and unappropriated. That is, that has not been classified for oil and mineral, for recreation, hasn't been withdrawn by the state for wildlife refuge or any of those other things. Only land that's vacant and that's also within their boundaries, that's the only land that they can select. And it seems to me, since we've limited them to only the vacant land, which by definition should be the land that the state doesn't have any overriding interest in, that once they select that land, they ought to be able to receive it without the director having an additional veto power. And that's what I'm removing, is the ability of the director to essentially veto the selections of the municipality when they select the land that is left vacant, unreserved, and unappropriated. And it seems to me, if you don't take it out, the director has essentially a double veto. He can classify land to remove it from their selection, and then once he's limited to this small amount of land that they can select, he can also veto that. And I think there's some good examples. Some of these municipalities, almost the entire borough is already classified for some purpose, and very small percentage, 1/1,000th of the land in some of these boroughs is left vacant, and yet then in addition to that limitation, we're going to say, without my amendment, we're going to say that the director can then veto the selections of the municipality. And it makes it a much more complicated act to have him currently the language would have him jointly review it with the municipality. They would have to make a determination what's state priority and what's a local concern. Then they would select, and the director could say no, and then they can go through an appeal procedure administratively, and then if they don't like that, they can challenge it in court. So we're talking about a very, very complicated procedure for something I think that, in the first place, isn't necessary, and the second place doesn't make good sense. The municipalities know, I think, better in a lot of cases than the state does what's good for them. And even when we're considering this elected body imposing its will on an elected municipality, elected assembly, we say that we would opt for local control. But in this case, we're not even talking about two elected bodies fighting for the control. We're saying an appointed director of the Division of Lands, not even a commissioner status, would have control over what happens to the municipality for land which they're entitled to. It's their land, and yet he's going to say, no, you can't have it. And I understand that there's concerns that the state has some overriding interests, but we've already classified those which we think we have an interest in, so those are reserved and or appropriated, and they're not available for selection. And even if we made a mistake, the state can still go in under eminent domain and take it back if in the future we find that we didn't do it right. But I think we should take away this power. Now, to get specifically my amendment, the first one is page 6, line 5. After AS 3805-300, insert, to which the state has received patent from the federal government. What this provision does is the subsection D that I'm amending says that the director cannot classify any more than 3,200 acres. Anything over 3,200 acres, the municipality can essentially say no to and prevent him from classifying that much after this act becomes law. And that's to prevent the director from going in and classifying all this area that they were going to select. But as it is now, it applies to land the state currently doesn't own, doesn't have under the Statehood Act. And I think that when we do receive that land, it's necessary for the director to have the authority to classify it because some of it will have some overriding state interest. And I think we need to keep him with that authority because there are some very important concerns. For instance, there might be land that has oil and coal uses for the state. So we do need to make that limitation on that provision, I think. The next amendment is line 16 through 20. I'm taking out this sentence. The joint consideration made by the parties shall include a cooperative land planning process which will, in addition to the normal objectives of such a process, seek to identify both local and state interests in tracts of vacant, unappropriated, and unreserved land remaining within the municipality. Which the purpose of that is to provide some sort of a joint agreement or joint working process, a planning process, to determine which of those vacant acres that the municipality might select are best for them to select. And there is a criteria in subsection G that delineates which concerns are state and which are local. But I'm taking G out. I'm taking the authority of the director to disapprove out, so I'm taking the criteria out upon which he would make that disapproval. And this is one of the processes that they would go through to get to those criteria. Then the next one also is on line 24, page 6. It currently says each selection must be approved or disapproved by the director. And I'm saying that it would read with the amendments on line 24 and line 25, it would read, each selection shall be approved for patent by the director of this, by the director within 9 months of its selection by a municipality. And the rest of it would stay the same. So this just says, it just takes away the director's ability to disapprove land that the municipality selects. And I am then, of course, since I've taken away his power to disapprove, I'm taking out G and H, which are the two subsections which deal with the criteria that would be set up for disapproval, and secondly, the criteria for appealing a judgment of or a disapproval. And so that, I think that's basically the amendment. I know it's a policy question whether people believe that the director should have this authority, but I think that he has substantial authority. The legislature has ultimate authority. We can reserve or appropriate any land in the state that we wish to, even private land that's owned privately. We can take it back under eminent domain, so I think we have a great deal of control. And the director has classified a great portion of the land that we currently own, and he would have the power to classify land that we receive in the future. So I hope the body would accept the amendment.
Representative Schaefer.
Mr. Speaker, and I think the previous speaker failed to give the reasons for deleting, on page 9, deleting subsection B, and to the chair, I'd ask the speaker to give his reasons for deleting that subsection.
Representative Meekins?
Speaker, I'm not sure what the question was. Could you restate it, or could the...
Representative Schaefer, I'd like to restate your question.
Yeah, page 9, line 28, through page 10, line 3, it says, delete subsection B.
Speaker, Representative Meekins.
Yes, I forgot to point that out. The when I made the amendment, I went through the bill to check and see what other amendments might be needed. There were some reference to the decision of the director and the approval of the director, and so just to make it consistent, I deleted those. This one, the purpose of this was that since the director was going to disapprove some portion of the land in order to facilitate things, that the municipalities could select more than their entitlement. They could select 110%, and then presumably the director would go in there and he'd disapprove some of them. They would never get more than 100%, but they could select more than that because his disapproval of some of it would get them down to 100%. But since we're not allowing him to disapprove it, there's no need for the municipality to select more than 100%. They're going to get whatever they select, they're going to get under this amendment. So they're going to get 100% of their entitlement. There's no need for them to originally select 110, considering that the director would disapprove some of it. So since I took away that power the director disapproved, then you have to take this subsection out.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, could I ask Ms. Meekins to repeat the first item again, because that wasn't what was on the printed sheet, and I wasn't able to see the following. So the very first item, if you would repeat.
It's page 6, line 5. It was pointed out to me this morning by indirectly, originating from the Director of Digital Land, that with my amendment and leaving in subsection D, essentially what would happen if we didn't put in my amendment was
that the municipalities essentially would have veto power over the director in classifying land that we haven't yet received under the Stated Act. And, of course, that doesn't make any sense either. It wasn't my intention. So I think it's important for the director to have the authority to classify land that has an overriding state interest and reserve it for that purpose so that we don't sell it or give it to the municipalities or whatever. And he would still retain that power under my amendment, because I would add, after AS05300, I would say, to which the state has received patent from the federal government. And therefore, the subsection would not apply to land that we have not received patent from, that we have not selected.
Representative Meekins? Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I think the previous speaker just answered my question on this, but it was represented to me this morning that under the terms of the amendment, and I think it was yesterday's amendment without the additional language, the federal government, I mean the state government, really wouldn't even have a way to classify land that became available to it. You're satisfied that with the new language that you've added to the amendment, that they would indeed have no problem on classifying any land that came into state ownership? Is that, through the chair, is that correct?
Representative Meekins.
That's the intent of the amendment, to get at that problem. I think it was a very good point.
Clerk, please read the addition to the amendment, which I think is the section we're talking about.
Page 6, line 5. After AS385300, insert, to which the state has received patent from the federal government.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, may I have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Question before the House is, shall House Bill 133 be returned to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment, the amendment being amendment number 3? Representative Rudd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been sitting here listening to the debate and trying to recall whether I expressed the misgivings that I have about this section that Representative Meekins is seeking to delete. When the bill was in our committee, in the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. And I frankly can't recall whether I expressed those reservations that I had at that time or not. But the fact is that I felt uneasy about these sections ever since the bill first came before the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, and having reread it recently a number of times, I feel that these sections that Representative Meekins is seeking to delete should come out of the bill for the very simple reason that the sections that he's seeking to delete seem very heavy-handed to me. They seem to be inserting the state government and the land control of the land into the municipal selection process, and it doesn't seem desirable to me. So I'm going to vote for the amendment, to go back to second reading and vote for the amendment.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, several things in this amendment kind of trouble me. I think on a technical basis, one of the things that bothers me too is the fact that the amendment, or actually the amendment to the amendment, we're saying here, to which the state has received a patent. My understanding is, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but most of the land we receive from the federal government, we have not received patent, that it's only TA, tentatively approved. And under the language that's proposed right now, all of that TA land would be totally excluded. Even if the words were in there, received patent or tentatively approved, I'm fuzzy on it, I admit, but I have an awful feeling that it's still not going to accomplish what the department was warning us against. And that being the case, I'm hesitant to vote yes on this amendment, you know, at this stage of the game.
Representative Rudd?
I guess I think I know what is being proposed in that language, and maybe I can make it clear, or maybe if I'm wrong, someone can correct me. By deleting the other sections that Mr. Meekins is seeking to delete, we are preventing the state from being, and leaving that section D as it is now, we are preventing the state from classifying land until after the municipalities have made their selections. We are preventing the state from reserving some state for state uses. We are preventing the state from reserving some land for state uses. By inserting the language on page 6 in section D that Mr. Meekins is seeking, we are allowing the state to classify lands between the time that we receive tentative approval and the time that we receive patent, so that the state would have a period during which we could review the lands and decide whether or not they were necessary for state interests and then classify them as such. But after we receive patent, then the state would not be able to do that unless it had been reviewed by a municipality in addition. So what we're doing is allowing a certain time for the state to make its selections and make its classifications and then opening it up for municipal selection. Is that correct?
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, that's correct. I think the point to be made is that without paragraph D at all, there would be no limitation at all on the director's ability to classify. And the reason that D was in there was to say that, while the municipalities are trying to select their land, we ought to limit the director's ability to classify so they could see what's available, what's vacant, unreserved, unappropriated, for a five-year period, prevent him from classifying any more than 3,200 acres. If the municipality didn't want him to, he could do it if they agreed, but if they didn't want him to, he couldn't classify any more than 3,200 acres at any one time. So that would give them 5 years to see which land was available and make selections. And the problem is that when you take away the authority of the director to disprove municipal selections, then land that you receive in the future, say 3 years from now, receives some land under the Statehood Act, the director wouldn't be able to classify that land as a mineral or oil or whatever he thought. And so if the municipality disagreed, he wouldn't be able to do it. So I think it's important that the state have the power to classify land. Now, they've had this authority already, and so land that we've already received patent to, it's been a long process. And presumably, if the director is doing his job, that land's already been classified. And a lot of land has been classified, of course. So I think we shouldn't allow him to classify any more of the land that we already have patent to, but land that we're still in the process of receiving patent to, or land that will get it, he should have the power to classify. So it's just a small limitation. The original D was a limitation on his power, and I'm expanding the director's power again for land in the future.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 133 be returned to second reading for the purposes of adopting specific amendment? Motion requires 21 votes. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 10 Nays, 3 Excused.
So House Bill 133 has been returned to second reading. Representative McKinnon.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
State your point.
Is it in order to offer an amendment to an amendment in this situation, or must we go back to third reading and consider it as a separate amendment?
If the amendment, the amendment's germane to the amendment itself, yes. It is in order.
Can we have an at ease then?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller.
Speaker, it'll be my purpose in a moment to move for recess for purposes of at least one caucus. I'll pause for a moment in case there's more than one.
Representative Miles.
There will be a caucus after.
Representative Urien.
There will be a minority caucus, and we'll take up the committee substitute for House Bill 133, and maybe we can report it back to this body for action.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent. This body stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Hearing no objection, the House is in recess. Representative Guy.
I think, Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introductions?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Guy.
Yes, in Gallery A, a friend and colleague and a constituent who is presently president of the Association of Village Council President, and he's just been appointed to the D2 Steering Council by the governor, Carl Jack, in Gallery A.
No further introductions. We'll revert to the regular order of business. Before the recess, House had before it House Bill 133 in second reading with an amendment pending, an amendment to the amendment pending, and finally a motion to return the bill to committee pending, which is a motion now before the House. Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, if I could very briefly speak to the motion that was placed before the recess for caucus. As I placed that motion, I indicated I have a real problem with what we're doing on the floor. Not a problem perhaps because the amendment is not a good one. It may very well be. But I'm not sure, and I don't believe that anybody on this floor knows for sure whether it's a good amendment or not a good amendment. And the words I heard spoken here this morning indicated a lot of people are supposing, making suppositions, and are thinking that it may do the job they want done, but they're not sure. And I object to that. I think we spent considerable time in Finance Committee going over this bill line by line and through each section of the bill numerous times. We took testimony from the Division of Lands. We took testimony and had in our committee room representatives of, I think, almost every municipality that's affected by this piece of legislation. And none of them at that time brought up any problems with these sections that we're now proposing to be deleted. I believe that this is a section with enough policy decision in it that it should go through committee process. Now, it may not be necessary that it goes through the committee process in the House. I'm not saying that. because I think we addressed all of our areas. But I think that if the sponsor of this amendment feels strongly about it, and if there are others on the floor who feel strongly about it, that they can gather their information, they can make their case, and they can make that case in the other body. Because undoubtedly, this bill is going to go under quite a bit of hearing, go through the hearing process in that body. And I think that's the way it should be done. I don't know what the municipality's reaction is going to be to these proposed amendments, and I really feel uneasy voting for those amendments, so I'm going to have to oppose them. But in the meantime, so that we can have a chance to address those amendments, I'll temporarily withdraw my motion to return it to committee.
The withdrawal of the motion. Hearing no objection, the motion is withdrawn. Brings us back to the next pending question, which is the amendment to amendment number 3. Representative Elias.
Mr. Speaker, I see there's a couple members absent. I'm sure they'd like to vote on this issue. I'd like to call the House.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I'll lift the call.
Call has been lifted. Question before the House is the amendment to amendment number 3. You ready for the question? Question is, shall the amendment to amendment number 3 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Representative Haugen? Any other member? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 8 nays, 2 excused.
So the amendment to the amendment has been adopted. Question before the House is the main amendment. Representative Miller?
Speaker, I voted yes on the amendment to the amendment because I thought it cleaned up the language and presented a better choice before us. I'm going to vote against the basic amendment as it now stands before us for all the reasons that Representative Duncan mentioned, and I just would say I share his views and urge the members at this stage of the game to send a bill to the other body that, frankly, all concerned have up until today been content to agree with.
Further discussion. Question is, shall amendment number 3 be adopted? Take a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 16 nays, 2 excused.
So amendment number 3 has been adopted. Representative Miller?
Are there further amendments?
We're back for a specific amendment.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Speaker, yeah. Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 133 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk please read House Bill 133 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 133, Finance amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to selection and transfer of state land to municipalities and providing for an effective date.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, a few minutes ago, withdrew my motion in order to that the House could address the amendments, because if the amendment would have been adopted, there would be no purpose in my motion. I really hesitate to do this, but I really feel strongly that we should be sure of what we're sending out of this body before we do that. With the amendment adopted, I'm quite sure that the majority of this body perhaps don't know exactly what we're sending out of the House. For that reason, Mr. Speaker, at this time I'm going to renew my motion. I would move that we return the return House Bill 133 to the Finance Committee to be reported out of that committee within 2 weeks.
There is objection to the motion. Motion is to return House Bill 133 to committee, to the Finance Committee, for a time certain. Is there a discussion? You ready for the question? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Representative Guy? Any other member? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 21 Nays, 2 Excused.
So the motion to return the bill to the Finance Committee has failed. Is there further discussion? Representative Kelly.
Speaker, I would just remind the body that this bill is before us on reconsideration, and it's up or down at this point. And a lot of the municipalities, I know my home area certainly is in favor of this bill, and I hope the body passes it out.
Further discussion, Representative Byrne.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote no on this bill. it probably doesn't make any difference anyhow, because nothing's going to happen. Nothing has happened for 20 years, and I don't think anything's going to happen now. Now, Mr. Meekins earlier today expressed a great deal of concern that the director of the Division of Lands wasn't going to do anything about it, and he wanted to change the bill, and we did pass an amendment which kind of wiped out the director. And I sympathize with him. I understand what he's doing. Nobody believes that the director of the Division of Lands is going to do anything with land. He's going to hold on to it. And that was the intent. That was one of the wonderful things about the Homestead Initiative, that we bypassed the director of the Division of Lands totally. And that's what makes him feel so unloved and unwanted. And I can assure you he is unloved and unwanted. But what this bill does is it's transferring a lot of land into the municipalities. And I don't see any purpose being served by doing that. What we should be interested in is moving the land into private ownership. Not moving the land from one governmental landlord into another governmental landlord. That doesn't serve any purpose. And the municipality's track record is pretty clear. They really haven't done anything with the land that they've already received. They put a few acres out for sale, and that's about it. But it's just barely keeping up with inflation. I don't think that they think this bill will do us any good at all. I want to vote against it, and I'd urge all the members to vote against it. Vote it down. Thank you.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, when Mr. Burns speaks about none of the municipalities doing anything, I'm sure he was making an unspoken exception for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, which has in the past turned some land out and plans to turn to give more to the private owners once they get some more, which they ain't been able to do for the last number of years.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday I received a letter from the mayor of Anchorage, and I had sent him a copy of the Finance Committee substitute and asked for a response from Anchorage on the bill. I felt uneasy, particularly about the $100 per capita limitation on the in-lieu payments, but I didn't mention that to him. He has written back to me raising three questions that the municipality of Anchorage has, the major one being the limitation of $100 per capita. I find myself in a very strange situation here, because I have always worked on this bill and supported the bill because it was agreed to by all the municipalities involved at one point, all except the North Slope Borough, and that's a big exception. But the other municipalities had agreed to it. When the Finance Committee adopted the $100 per capita limitation, and I asked for Anchorage's input, I felt that if the whole thing fell apart, then I really couldn't support it if Anchorage couldn't support it, because I live in Anchorage and I'm representing the people there. And Anchorage had worked hard on the compromise bill. They do have a very, very strong feeling about the $100 limitation. Therefore, I'm going to vote against the bill.
For further discussion, Representative Swanson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I intend to vote against this bill for its unfairness. Its unfairness of eliminating the people in rural Alaska for a fair share of the land. I have no objection in parts of this bill of giving Anchorage 20, maybe 40, maybe $60 million. If the $100 limitation was taken off, that we'd be talking about $40 to $60 million for Anchorage. I have no objection. If it's their fair share, it's their fair share. I have no objection to the Mat-Su Borough or the Juneau Borough or the Ketchikan Borough or the Sitka Borough or any of the rest of them getting a chunk of land for their people. But I do object to a bill that eliminated the people in the unorganized borough.
Representative Dankworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to rise in favor of this bill. Now, we've been listening this morning to the fact that the cities have gone over this bill line by line, and they've all agreed to it. Now we find out just when we're getting ready to push the button that the city of Anchorage has got some objection to it. I think they shouldn't have any objection to this, and if they did, they should have let me as a representative know about it before we're ready to push the button. I frankly didn't favor this bill until we got Big Brother out of it, and I think it's an excellent bill. It's doing just exactly what I think that ought to be done, and I urge its passage.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, of course, some of us have a difference of opinion on the facts stated by the representative from Nenana. And I don't think that we have taken the, I think very certainly we have not taken anybody in the rural areas out of the bill. We are treating them differently than the original sections 4 and 5. That is true, and no doubt that's one of the reasons he's concerned about it. But I don't think that we've done that. I'm going to vote for the bill.
Representative Kelly. House, please stand at ease.
Order.
Question before the House is shall House Bill 133 pass the House? Is there further discussion? Representative Kelly?
Mr. Speaker, I had an opportunity during the At Ease to read the letter sent to Representative Rudd by Mayor Sullivan. And in the first paragraph, the mayor states that, in general, the municipality of Anchorage strongly supports this legislation and requests expedition through the House and the Senate. The paragraph that Representative Rudd was referring to is a proposed amendment that Anchorage would like to see, and perhaps they can take care of this amendment over in the Senate.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd just like to make the observation that if this bill, up for the second time, you only get two times at bat in the legislature, if this bill should go down the tube, Anchorage at that point would be entitled to 10% of all the vacant, unappropriated land in the municipality, of which there ain't none. And 10% of nothing is nothing.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I put in the formula which changed the entitlement I helped develop the formula that the Finance Committee put in, which changed Anchorage's entitlement. And under the new formula, Anchorage gets more land and substantially more money. And they agreed to the bill when they were getting less, and now we're giving them more, and I think that I think it's inconsistent and irrational if they're saying they don't agree with the bill when they're getting more money and more land under the new formula. So if that is their position, I think we should disregard it because I don't think that they're making sense. So I would hope that people would support it. We've improved the lot of not only Anchorage but almost every other borough municipality in the state through this new formula. It's a very generous formula in the sense that it deviates from the original law and tries to provide some equity for population and size. And it is very costly to the state in terms of the money out of the treasury and in terms of giving its land to the municipalities. But I think it's an improved version, and it's just the best we can do given the constraints we're working on. And I hope people would pass it.
Further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker,
Representative,
could I address a question to Mr. Meekins? In the case of Anchorage, if Anchorage did not want to receive the money but wanted to receive land instead, has there been any provision made to permit Anchorage to select lands outside of the borough, lands which at a later time it could exchange for other purposes?
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, this was considered and was not accepted. There's no provision in this bill that would allow any municipality to select land outside their boundaries. If there's no land available, then they can go into the in-lieu payment pool, but they cannot select land outside their boundaries.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, To the point, the various points that were raised having to do with Anchorage getting more now than under the CNRA bill and still not being satisfied, as it were, I think the point that Mayor Sullivan was trying to make was that under the Finance Committee substitute, almost all of the municipalities are receiving more land than under the CNRA bill. And since the land exists for them to select in their boroughs, they will receive that land. And therefore, if, and Anchorage, of course, would receive more land too if the land existed. But it is not equitable, I believe, in Mayor Sullivan's view, that the other boroughs should receive more land and actually receive that value. And if you figure it out, it's something like the value of the land that the Mat-Su borough is receiving is something like, if you use the payment formula in the bill, $139 million. It is not fair then to limit Anchorage in the amount of money that they would receive in lieu of the land. If we're going to increase the amount of land that's available for everyone, then it's not fair to limit certain municipalities, and I think the two that would be most affected by this would be the North Slope Borough and Anchorage, to limit the amount of money that they get to a certain amount, because again, if you use the payment formula that is in the bill and do away with the $100 per capita limitation, the value of the land that Anchorage is not receiving would be something like $42.5 million.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill number 133 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 5 nays, 2 excused.
So House Bill 133 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent to the roll call on House Bill 133 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the effective date clause, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Citation in memoriam Christian Frederick Weiler, requested by Representatives Haugen, Miller, and Duncan.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation.
Hearing no objection, the citation is approved. The records show that the citation was approved unanimously. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar. Representative Miles.
Can we revert to introduction of guests, please, Mr. Speaker?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Miles.
In Gallery B, I'd like to introduce the newly elected student body president at the University of Alaska Anchorage and ACC.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in Gallery B, three constituents of mine from Fairbanks, Valerie Stelopek, Betty Moore, and Fern Snyder.
There are no further introductions at this time. We'll continue with the regular order of business. Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we be at ease?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come to order. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Citation commending Congressman Lloyd Meads, requested by Representative Bradley.
Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for the approval of the citation.
Hearing no objection, citation is approved. Records show that the citation was approved unanimously. Brings us to the end of today's calendar, down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take up my reconsideration on committee substitute for House Bill 25 this time.
Places a bill before us in third reading. The clerk please read House Bill 25, third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 25, Finance. by the Finance Committee, an act relating to accrued medical and annual leave of state employees.
House Bill 25 is before the House in third reading. Is there any discussion? Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I bring this up today because I think there may be some members who wish to change their votes from yesterday. And looking at it, I know that I personally haven't been contacted by any group representing the state employees that are affected by this to vote one way or the other on the bill. In fact, one gentleman said that he really thought it was morally wrong what this bill encompassed. And you know, we've come a long ways as far as sick leave goes. There was a time when you worked, you got paid, and if you were sick or didn't show up, you didn't get paid. And then we decided that there should be this thing called sick leave, because there are, from time to time, people get ill and can't make it to work, and to help your employees a little bit, you give them a thing called sick leave, so that when they are sick, they do get paid. And now we're taking this, which has been a sort of a privilege over the years, we're now taking it and saying, well, if you don't get sick, we're going to give it to you as credit on your retirement. And there's been a testimony said about 20% of the times that people say they're sick, they're really not. So we're trying to encourage them to stay on the job. I always...